studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 13th, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number of prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And there is something new about prayer requests. I started doing this. Look, you can always call me, amen, and sometimes I'm easier to catch than others. But the point is if you mail me your prayer request, and I will take it to Friday night missions, to the our service on Friday night. We'll anoint it with oil. We'll pray over it. And if you include your address and say you want it sent back, we will send you the anointed letter back to you. And that's, of course, no cost to you. I mean, come on, what's a stamp and a envelope cost? I mean, really? Point being is, no cost to you. We'll do that. You can also send me an email. And if you send me an email and you don't want to send through mail, you send me an email with your prayer request on it. If you want me to call you back, include your phone number. If you want it mailed back, include your mailing address, and I will do that for you. A lot of people would like to have them back. So anyway, pray about it. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, all these things you can find at our blog at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And it's like a hub for all our ministries. You can find the Wichita Mission Church. You can find Mission Watch. You can find all those different things simply by going to prophecyhour.com, including our name, address, email address, all those things, prophecyhour.com. Anyway, now prayer, and I'm going to bring on one of my favorite guests. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. Father, please allow this program to glorify you and not glorify the world. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program in your mighty Son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Joel Richardson. He's a husband and a father committed to the pro-life and adoption movements. He's an artist, human rights activist, New York Times best-selling author, internationally recognized speaker, and recognized expert on Bible prophecy in the Middle East. Joel's heart is thoroughly missional, with a deep love for Muslims and the people of the Middle East. One of his books are The Middle East Beast, The Scriptural Case for the Islamic Antichrist, The Islamic Antichrist, The Shocking Truth About the Real Nature of the Beast. And he also co-authored a book with Wally Chubat called God's War on Terror, Islam, Prophecy, and the Bible. He also has a must-see documentary. If you haven't seen it before, it's called End Time Eyewitness. And, of course, besides that, he's made some other DVDs on the end times. You can find those at his website. But let's not forget to bring up one of my favorite books that he wrote, which is When a Jew Rules the World, which really is one of my favorites, and it's a must-read for everyone. Tonight, we'll talk to him about maybe some of his other projects. He's doing something called The Underground, and I think I detect that he's on a new film project, Sheep Among the Wolves, and there's just so much to talk about, so let's just welcome Joel. Joel, are you there with me?
Hey, Pastor Dan, good to be on with you again, brother.
Yeah, amen. It's sure glad to keep to hear your voice, and especially know that you're safe. You turned into quite a traveler in the last few years.
Yeah, I have. I mean, you know, not tremendously, but every year I do have the chance to go on a few trips, and you know, most often when I can to the Middle East, I've been blessed to have a relationship with some of those that are working in the underground church, underground churches throughout the Middle East, and you know, the Lord is doing some truly amazing things. It's you know, there's horrific things going on in the earth. There's no question about it. But the Lord, you know, when these horrific things happen, the Lord responds, and He's doing some amazing things. And it's a blessing to be able to get to see it and get to spend time with some of these people.
Yeah, amen. It's sure a blessing to see somebody like you that, you know, going to the Middle East and really recognizing, you know, the need for, you know, evangelism. But, you know, so many of the ministries around, you know, they talk about Bible prophecy, and they seem to skip over the part about all the people being killed in the Middle East. You know what I'm saying? And it's pretty horrific, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I'll tell you a story. I know we're kind of just kind of going with the spirit here, but I had a chance to meet a young gal who I'll share her testimony because it's just so fantastic. But she actually is from Iran, and when she was about 11, her dad had left her and her mother, only child, and so her and her mother were alone. Her father moved to a different city, and so it was just the two of them. And then about 2 years later, they were really poor. I mean, you know, poorer than poor. The Iranians are incredibly poor. They have one of the highest suicide rates in the world, and the highest drug addiction rate in the whole Middle East, and most of the people really are not committed to Islam. They've really turned away from it
really?
In recent the past decade. Well, this young gal's mother got cancer when she was 13, so she became a primary caretaker, and then they went from being poor to really being poor. And she used to go, this girl used to go to these shrines to pray. She was a Shia, you know, Muslim. She was pretty devout, and they have these shrines to the various imams there in Iran. And so she used to go and literally pray 8 hours a day.
Wow.
And, you know, her mother just kept getting worse and worse. Well, she was coming home one day from this sort of mountain shrine, and someone told her about Jesus. You know, there's a church is growing in Iran, and people are risking their lives. But, you know, the whole country is a mafia state. You know, everyone's telling on everyone. And if you get caught by the secret police, you know, you will be tortured, you'll be raped, and, you know, it really doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl, you'll be raped and you'll be put in prison. I mean, it's just, you know, this is the reality of what they're dealing with. And, but someone told her about Jesus and said, you know, well, you know, Jesus can heal your mother. You know, he does these things. And she was all excited. She came home and she just forgot all about it because her mother was so sick that day. And at 12 o'clock, right at 12 noon, her mother passed away. And, you know, she stopped breathing and just, you know, gave up the ghost, so to speak. And she said, you know, here she was, this little 15, 16-year-old girl just standing there. And she said she was just in shock. You know, she just froze and she didn't know what to do. And for 6 hours, this little girl just stood next to the body of her mother. And at 6 o'clock at night, 6 hours later, she remembered that someone had told her about Jesus. And she prayed for the first time to Jesus. And she said, Jesus, you know, just today somebody told me about you, and they said, you can heal my mother, and now it's too late. Now she's dead, and I forgot, and I haven't even had a chance, and, you know, but I don't know what I'm going to do. Can you help me? And, you know, just this weak little prayer, first time in her life, she prayed to Jesus. And her mother started coughing.
Really?
And she wakes up, and, you know, she says, you know, they're just in shock, and she says, we need to go to the hospital. And they go to the hospital, and they're there for a couple days. They do a whole bunch of tests, and literally her mother does not have a shred of cancer. She's completely,
wow,
completely cancer-free. So this little girl gets saved. Her mother gets saved. Her best friend had come by during this time when her mother was dead, and she got saved. All the cousins got saved, and she literally gives herself full time as an evangelist now. She goes about sharing the gospel. She's, you know, a little bit older now. This was a few years ago. And I looked at her, you know, just this young girl, and I said, doesn't it scare you? I mean, how do you deal with the reality that if you get caught, you're going to be tortured, you're going to be imprisoned, you're going to be raped? How do you deal with that? And she just looked at me and said, you know, suffering is a basic part of Christianity. And she said, I would be honored to suffer for Jesus because I love him. And she just smiled.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, these kind of stories among the Iranians. The Lord is doing amazing things. And, you know, we don't often get to see these things. You know, obviously we just see the bad news, these things that don't headline on CNN, but the Lord is doing some amazing things. And I have a couple of hope.
Yeah, amen. I have a couple of thoughts about that. You know, one, I'm just like, wow. But I knew in my heart that those things must be going on over there because of faith. What, you know, they're sitting there saying, she's sitting there saying that suffering is part of the Christian walk. I don't suppose she'd get into most churches over here, would she? You know, in the Western world.
Yeah, maybe some home groups, but I don't know about many of the big churches. I mean, she would, but, you know, people just can't relate. They just can't relate to that early church Christianity, you know, the biblical Christianity. Really, they can't relate to it.
Yeah, absolutely. While we're talking, you know, what is, before I forget, I want to get these two things out of the way so I don't leave them out of the program. Tell the folks what this underground is. Tell them about that. I want people to be able to see that and tell them what the underground is. Back to you.
Yeah, so, you know, basically I just started a program, literally, and I don't know if you know this, but... I built a little TV studio in my chicken coop. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know you built one in your chicken coop. No, I didn't. That's funny.
Yeah. I shoveled the chicken manure out and, or whatever you call it. And I swept it out and put carpets down and turned it into a TV studio. And, so I've started a little program and, you know, basically, you know, I'm putting it on my website. You can go to my website, Joel's Trumpet, and there's a new program that goes up every week. It's about a half-hour program. It also runs on the Praise the Lord network. That's actually Jim Baker's network that's on Roku that he's just starting. And we'll probably put it on WorldNet Daily, and I'm going to try to get on a few other smaller Christian networks. But, you know, you can go online and just watch it, you know, any week, usually Monday, Tuesday, I'll put up the new episode. But basically, yeah, we're just focusing on what's going on, you know, in the world of biblical prophecy, what's going on with regard to the missions movement and the gospel, the Middle East, Israel, pretty much just whatever I'm interested in. And, you know, I've just got started. I don't know how to do a TV show, so. The first few shows, I'm really just teaching on different issues and sharing what's on my heart. I just recorded a few shows today where I had a guest on for the first time, and we just sat there and chatted about different things. This fellow I had on has a conference in Jerusalem every year. We talked about that. And so, you know, the sky's the limit. I have freedom to pretty much do whatever I want, and I'm hoping that if it's successful, you know, it costs a little bit to produce. And so I need to probably start trying to raise some of the funds to keep it going. But, you know, if I can keep it going, I think after a year or so, I'll really have the opportunity to do some really neat stuff. But, you know, I'm tentatively, cautiously excited about it.
Yeah, amen. You know, and talk about some of the greatest things come from humble roots, and I don't know how much more humble you can get than a chicken coop. amen. My studio's in a place that was built on our property that my mother stayed in just before she went to a rest home. And so, you know, this place reminds me of my mom. But, yeah, amen. Folks, make sure you tune into the episode. I've seen some of the episodes. It's really good. So make sure you tune in and pray about supporting it, you know. Amen. Did I notice this other thing right over there? Are you working on another film?
Yeah, we are. So I'm working with a group called FAI. That's Frontier Alliance International. That's headed up by Dalton and Anna Thomas. It's a missions group, but we're really partnering to put out some films, and we've just released a film called Covenant and Controversy, The Great Rage. So there's actually going to be five films there, That's myself, Barry Horner, Dr. Michael Brown, and you know, a few others. You can actually, if you go to my website, you can follow the links to, you can watch that digitally on Vimeo, or you can order the DVD that will be out in a few weeks, and it's fantastic. I mean,
really?
It's so good you can, it's so good you can hardly tell that it was made by Christians.
you hardly tell it was made by Christians? That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, the quality is fantastic, but so, you know, Covenant Controversy, but then also we're working on Sheep Among Wolves. And so this was filmed throughout the Middle East, and again, it's a film about the underground church in the Middle East, and it will include some of the interviews, you know, the testimonies that I just told you from this young gal and some others, and really, we just, we've got amazing, amazing footage. You know, we've got one of these little drones that we took to the Middle East and, you know, flew it around some really just magnificent old mosques around the minarets over the top, and you know, got to go into some mosques as they were filled with, you know, men praying, and actually got permission from the Mufti to go in and do that. So, yeah, just some great footage, great interviews. I think it's going to be a powerful, powerful film.
Well, amen. And just for the record, In Time Eyewitness, isn't there supposed to be another part to that?
Yeah, there is. This is now, End Times Eyewitness, it will be through World Net Daily Films. The second part is going to be called The Global Jesus Revolution, and they keep pushing it back. It'll probably be out in the spring, but we haven't even started editing that one yet. Sheep Among Wolves will be out before the end of the year, so that will come first, and then the Global Jesus Revolution. I'm excited about them both.
Amen.
Global Jesus Revolution really picks up where End Times Eyewitness left off.
Yeah, End Time Eyewitness is a very powerful tool, and it sounds like this Sheep Among the Wolves is really going to be also. Here's something. You mentioned end of the year, you know, after the end of the year. You know, a lot of people are expecting a lot of things to happen at the end of the year. What do you think?
Well, you know, I've been reading.
I knew you'd laugh.
I've been reading a lot and watching some of the videos, and you know, we've got everything from CERN in is it Switzerland?
I think
it's in Switzerland. This outfit up there, you know, they're going to open a portal to hell, and you know, all these kind of different ideas that are floating around and quoting the Book of Revelation and Apollyon, the Destroyer, and the Abyss is going to be opened, and all these things. Have you read about that in particular?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of. Actually, I do know about CERN. I did a couple radio programs on it, and I'm skeptical, of course. But yeah, I know about CERN, and I heard about. You know, I think Tom Horn and them were talking about Apollyon and the Portal Hell, I think. But
right.
You know.
Well, okay. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but the thing
yeah,
is.
Neither am I.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I just said, I agree with you. I'm not either. I think Tom Horn writes some good books. And that doesn't mean I agree with everything he writes, but he's trying to warn.
He's trying to warn. And, yeah, I've gotten to be friends with Tom, and he's hilarious, actually. He's got such a sense of humor. But here's the thing, is that with all of these issues that come up, we Christians have to hold steady, and we have to be firmly rooted in the Scriptures. We can't be saying, well, might this happen or could this happen? We have to turn to the Scriptures. And, you know, even just this whole issue of is the abyss going to be opened? Is this a reference to Revelation 5? You know, this whole thing with the abyss being opened and Apollyon or Abaddon, the Destroyer, that doesn't take place until after the fifth trumpet.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think that we are in any of the trumpets. I don't think we're even in, you know, any of the seals yet. So certainly September of this year, a portal to hell is not going to be opened. You know, or at least not the reference that we're looking at in the Book of Revelation. So, you know, we can say with clarity that the time is not yet. And I think it's important, you know, again, I don't mean to, you know, even laugh. You know, there's crazy things taking place up there. I'm concerned. When you read about what CERN's doing, it sounds pretty crazy. But, yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. You know, and especially just the fact that they do put out the Hindu god Shiva as sort of the, you know, there's some definite warning signs there. But nevertheless, we are people of the book. We are people of the scriptures. And I just, there's part of me, Dan, that's, I'm looking at the almost frenetic level of expectation that people have right now for the next couple months. And listen, you know, the Lord could bring judgment on America. The Lord could bring the next episode of chastisement. And there's no question about that. But that is something very different than saying that we are entering into the final 7 years. That, right. To say the Lord could bring temporal judgment on America, that is entirely different than saying that we are in the last days of the last days. You know, I've heard people say that we're in the final 3.5 years. And the problem with that, the problem with saying we're in the final 3.5 years, the problem with saying we're in the final 7 years, is that there are clear biblical signs that have yet to be fulfilled.
Absolutely.
And so
let me break in. We got 1 minute to go before break. And when we come back, I'll get you to talk about what are some of the things that we need to see before these other things happen. But, Joel, why don't you tell them where your website's at so they can find everything, and we'll come back and talk.
All right. Yeah, I'm at joelstrumpet.com, joelstrumpet.com.
Well, folks, anywhere that if you're right now we're on live radio, but after a while this will go into a podcast, and wherever you find it at podcast, there will also be a link to Joel's site. Make sure you share with others and pray about supporting Joel's ministry, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy. the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need: first aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that are just barely making it out there, that have children. You know, it's summertime. They come into the mission church. They're looking for everything. Miracle players, way to get out of the heat. They're looking for clothing and food, Bibles, you name it, they're looking for it. And while we're seeing more and more new faces, you know, we're not seeing more and more new donations, you know. So pray about it. We really do need your help. We're not some great big organization that gets huge donations from everything. In fact, most ministries, you know, out there on radio and everything sell things. We don't sell anything. We rely upon the Father to supply our needs. But, you know, which means we rely on donations from folks like you. That's kept us going for now in our 16th year of doing this. And anyway, so why do people come to us for help? Because we have no set guidelines. We give people relationships. People walk in the door and ask for what they need, and then we pray about it. If we don't have what they need, we pray it in, try to find them the resource. But this is why, when there is no resource, you know, the Father will give you one out of faith. And that's why some of the people walk in, you know, they say, Pastor Dan, I'm not asking you for any money or anything, but I was told that by some of the other guys out there on the street that you were the last hope and I should come over here and get a prayer. So we have people coming from all over the city, coming just looking for prayers, because we don't always have those needs. But you wouldn't believe how many miracles we've seen. So anyway, pray about it. We're the last hope for so many, and folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or call me if you need to at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with talking with Joel Richardson about some of the projects he's been doing, but we're going to ask him about what to expect next in Bible prophecy, so to speak. Are you there with me, Joel?
I am here, Pastor Dan.
And you didn't run off to your chicken coop. I'm going to think about that for a while. Amen.
I've got the whole studio, to make it even worse, to make it more comical, I've got the whole studio, all the lights, everything running off of one extension cord.
Right.
So I need to probably run some solid electricity out there before I have a problem.
Yeah, that's probably a thought, brother, you know, add a breaker and run a cord out. but or at least an extra cord. But it's working now. I've seen the videos. They're great.
Yep.
Amen?
It's working.
Yeah, that's what counts. That's what counts. And humble beginnings, like I said, folks, you know, so many people, you know, and I'm not trying to ring our bell, but, you know, so many people think they've got to get all this money up to do this or that before they start any project. When the Father puts something on your heart to do it, you know, you need to step out in faith and do it. And, you know, that's why I say humble beginnings and is the way to go. It's just get out there and start doing it. If we always we're not required to sit back and on the couch, you know, we're supposed to get up off the couch, aren't we, Joel?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anything else other than humble beginnings. You know, it's you know, building. I like the expression building a ship at sea. You know, you get out there and get started, and then build the ship once you get out there. But if you wait to build the ship, sometimes, you know, you're going to be at the end of your life wondering, you know, why didn't you do this or that? But you get out there and get going, and the Lord will, as you said, provide and provide along the way. At least that's the way it's always worked with me.
Yeah, amen, absolutely. Well, before the break, we were talking about some of the things that, you know, people talking about, the Shemitah's coming, and they're looking for stock market crash and all these different things. Well, but what do you think? What should we be looking for in Bible prophecy? What needs to come next before we can see the last 3.5 or 7 years or whatever? Back to you.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned the Shemitah, and I got to tell a joke because I was talking with somebody. I said, you know, if the way the saying goes, if you want to make fun of something, and I'm not making fun of this, I've gotten to be, you know, pretty good friends with Mark Biltz. He's the one that's really been talking about the blood moons or the Tetrad, and Jonathan Cahn. And they really, they're both guys, really humble, just genuine guys. And I actually did read Mark's book, and, you know, he's so thoroughly qualified. He says, listen, I'm not saying this, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that according to the scriptures, the Lord says he sets these things as signs for us. And we should pay attention to this. I mean, he's very balanced, but what happens is when people teach something, then it goes on YouTube, then it goes on the internet, and other people take it and they run with it and they attach all these things to it, and they always take it much further than the teacher that, you know, themselves that put it out there actually intended. And and so, you know, that's the danger, obviously, is taking things further. But, you know, if you're gonna make here's the joke, is if you're going to make fun of something, you know, you say, oh, blood moons, schmud moons, you know, you kind of add that. But now, if you're trying to make fun of the Shemitah, there's really no way to do it. You just say Shemitah, Shemitah. So if you think about it, Jonathan Cahn was ingenious, because if people are trying to make fun of him, they actually just give him double advertising. They just say Shemitah, Shemitah, and then people say, what does that mean? I got to go, I'm going to have to buy this book. But anyway, all right, that one fell flat. So, so here's the thing: this is my concern is that I ordered a copy of the old book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988, and you know, a lot of people don't know the subtitle of that book is the Feast of Trumpets, September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. I mean, actually, or maybe it's 21st, 22nd, 23rd. You know, it actually lists the Feast of Trumpets. And this was the key day that everyone was looking at, and they had their calculations, and they had it all figured out, and the expectations of the church were on this period. They were looking forward to it for years, and it came and went, and all of the expectations fell flat. And the result of that is that you had a couple decades of much of the church turning off to the subject of the end times, of disregarding the whole subject of the return of Jesus. And I'm just really concerned, Pastor Dan, that this year is going to come and go without anything of cataclysmic significance, and a lot of people are going to turn off to the subject of the return of Jesus, specifically at the time that we need to be paying attention to this more than ever before. Because I have no question, we are approaching that hour. I have no question about that. But my concern is that everyone's placing so much emphasis on this period, even to the point of saying that we're entering into the final 7 years. So, you know, Peter said, look, scoffers, mockers, they're going to come following their own lust, saying, you know, where is this promise, the promise of his coming? But we, you know, mockers are going to come and mock, but we don't want to give legitimacy to their mocking. We don't want to continually cry wolf. And, you know, we want to be responsible. So what are, I don't know if we're already coming up on a break, but what are the signs that need to be fulfilled? Well, the first one, just going backwards, going back to the 3.5 year mark, the first half of the final 7 years, the Jewish temple has to be rebuilt. Now, that doesn't mean that there has to be a brick-and-mortar structure. It could be something as simple as a tent. But the scriptures are clear that the sacrifices will be reinstated, and there will be something that the Antichrist sets himself up in, proclaiming himself, or not proclaiming himself, but displaying himself as God. Now, of course, most Christians go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. They quote Paul, who says the Antichrist is going to, you know, set himself up in the seat of God, in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. But then you have a lot of Christians that say, well, every time that Paul uses that word, nous, in the Greek, they say, and really throughout the several times in the New Testament, they say it's always symbolic, it's always metaphorical. You know, you're the temple of God. Jesus said he was speaking of the temple of his own body and this sort of thing. The problem with that is that for every reference in the New Testament where it uses the word temple in a metaphorical sense, it states outright what it's referring to. It says, you know, you are the temple of God, and then it explains, because God dwells in you. And it basically explains, listen, we're speaking metaphorically here. But in other places, such as 2 Thessalonians, when Paul says this, he doesn't say it's metaphorical. There's no hint that what he's saying here is metaphorical. In fact, what Paul is simply doing is he's actually just quoting passages from Daniel. He's expounding upon passages from Daniel, and I think in particular is Daniel chapter 8, like verses 11 through 12, where we're told that the Antichrist, or the little horn, will magnify himself to be equal with the commander of the host. That's a phrase used, or it's a title to refer to God or to refer to Jesus. And then the little horn, it says he will remove the regular sacrifice in the place of his sanctuary. That's the commander of the host, was thrown down, and the regular sacrifice is given over to the Antichrist. So the fact of the matter is, if we look at some of these passages in Daniel, there's no way that you can spiritualize or allegorize these things. You can't relegate them to history. The angel Gabriel said they pertain to the time of the end. We can be confident that some type of Jewish, whether it's something as simple as a tent or a full-blown, you know, stone temple, will be rebuilt, sacrifices will be reinstated, and then at the beginning of the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist will desecrate and desolate that temple, cause the offerings to cease, and if there's no temple, if there's no offerings, we're not in the final 3.5 years. We simply are not there, and yet I've heard a lot of Christians jumping the gun and trying to say, oh, well, that's metaphorical, you know, you're reading that wrong. No, a solid, responsible reading of these things, right, the full context of everything, there's really no getting around it.
Well, won't we literally see the how do you feel about the two witnesses?
I mean, as far as my reading, the two witnesses seem to be literal individuals as well. But, you know, regardless as to the two witnesses, I mean, and that's a big sign, but regardless, the one thing is clear, is that we will see a temple rebuilt. I mean, I do think the two witnesses are individuals. Some people have tried to say, well, that's the Messianic Jews and the Christians or things like that, but I think they're two literal individuals that will be there prophesying in Jerusalem.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Okay. I absolutely believe that it's going to be two individuals. I can't take the reading any other way. I believe that, here's what I believe about the Bible. I believe that fundamentally the Bible is laid out in a manner that most people should be able to read it and understand it without, you know, having somebody interpret it to them or say, well, that means this or that. I go with plainly reading it, and that's what it looks like. I also believe, I agree with you, there needs to be a temple rebuilt. And you came across, like even the Sanhedrin, you know, talking about working with the Muslims about rebuilding that temple. So there's lots of things going on, but, you know, what is it? People just want the dramatic? Is that what they're doing? Is they're just pushing that dramatic to sell books, or you think they really believe all that?
I don't know. I just think that, yeah, Christians, it's almost like they're getting so excited. Basically, the argument that's being pushed is they say, listen, people missed Jesus in the first time. When he came the first time, they missed it because they thought they had their prophecies all figured out. And they're kind of saying, how do we know that we thought we had it all figured out, but we're not wrong? And they're kind of trying to remove all of the signposts to infer that we're right at the door. But the truth is, when you really look at the New Testament, it were the individuals that actually did study prophecy. They're the ones that received Jesus. They're the ones that actually received him as Messiah. You look at the Magi, you know, that came from the East. In my opinion, these guys were probably either Jews or trained by Jews in the Hebrew Scriptures. And they were looking to the prophecy of Micah 5 that says the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. They were looking to Numbers 24 that says a star will rise up out of Jacob, a scepter from Israel. And, you know, they were looking at different prophecies that spoke of the coming of the Messiah. And these their understanding of the prophecies led them to a stable in Bethlehem. You know, I mean, literally, or at least to his house. And they found him. It was those that were studying the prophecies. It were those that were not studying the prophecies, that were following after their own desires. They're the ones that missed him. But for those that were carefully paying attention to the prophecies, the Lord promised to guide those that are humble and peering into his word. So I don't buy the argument that says, you know, of course, yes, there's danger if you're proud and you think you have it all figured out and every detail and nuance. But for those that are peering into the scriptures, I believe the Lord is going to guide us and open, you know, so when you come along and then really just try to twist the word of God and say, well, Paul was just speaking metaphorically, I say, okay, well, let's look at the argument. And the bottom line is the argument doesn't hold water. It doesn't hold water. And so we have to submit ourselves to the scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. You know, I have a friend, and I won't mention his name, but, you know, he's all off on a, you know, he does radio, but he's all off on a timeline thing, and he's super excited. And the last time I seen this happen to this friend of mine was Y2K. You remember Y2K? Not. And, you know, so many people, like you said, I fear they're going to run away after the end of this year if half the world doesn't blow up, you know what I mean? Then they're going to run away from hearing about Bible prophecy right when they do need to hear it. But they did the same thing at Y2K. I know for years people that were really into, you know, Bible prophecy completely, well, aren't even back into it, period, because so much was said that was going to happen at Y2K, and it didn't. And that is what we're seeing a repeat of, I think. I could be wrong, you know. Maybe the Shemitah will bring another economic collapse and so on and so forth, and good news for Israel, but... amen. We're still not ready for the 3.5 years. As you say, there's things that we haven't seen. I believe in the scriptures. That's the thus saith the Lord, not man. Back to you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, just briefly, the other issues before we enter into the 7 years is we need to see the Antichrist arise as what he's referred to in Daniel 7 and 8 as a little horn. In Daniel 11, with the help of a small people, he arises as a leader of small significance. He rises and overthrows three leaders, and he grows in power until he's able to enter into this covenant with the leaders of Israel that's spoken of in Daniel 9 and Isaiah 28. And so we haven't seen the rise of the Antichrist, and we haven't seen the covenant. And so you know, we've already established that we're not entering into the final 3.5 years. And we're not entering into the final 7 years. This year is not the beginning of the final 7 years. We don't know when it is. but it's definitely not this September because the signs have not aligned. And so now is the time to hold steady. Like you said, we could see the next episode of Judgment on America, but that's very different than saying we're entering into the final 7 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do see some things prophetic. I actually believe that Obama is prophetic in the sense that I believe America had to turn away from Israel and quit being its protector in order for, you know, for certain things to happen in the world in Bible prophecy. In order for the nations to realign themselves, those dictators that were over there keeping everything down had to be taken out of the way. And so that it could shift. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. The Lord is sovereign. And, you know, as difficult as it is, he's allowed Obama to come in and make the mess that he has. And, you know, and yet the crazy thing, you know, I was reading the scriptures, talking with a friend today, and I was looking at the reality. Here's Paul. When Paul said in Romans, submit to the authorities, he wrote that when there was this Roman Caesar who claimed to be God, who was crazy, who was persecuting Christians. And Paul says, now listen, submit to the authorities. Submit to Caesar. And I was going, well, you know, Obama is horrific, but at least, I mean, yeah, we've got another year. he hasn't claimed to be God yet. So, you know, if Paul could have written that in the first century, it's amazing that, it's amazing to think that, you know, the enmity that exists among Christians today. I can't stand our present administration, but, you know, the Lord has put them, he's put them there. He's allowed that government to be put in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, there's different purposes for it, but, you know, they want change. You know, they need to pray for change. But, you know, I don't know about you, but you know how I can't count how many people have tried to send me convincing, to their eyes, really convincing prophecies that Obama is, you know, the Antichrist, you know, and that we're you know, he's going to do it all. And I'm astounded at those people. I wonder if they've ever even read their Bible at all because, you know, the Antichrist, like you wrote the book, The Islamic Antichrist, a great work. It clearly point, and the Mideast Beast, they clearly point and give a description of who he is, where he's going to come from. But I guess they use replacement theology. Back to you.
Well, you know, it's just Christians have a long history of pointing to whoever is the political or theological enemy of the day, the boogeyman of the day, and saying this is the Antichrist. Now, you know, you could say he is an Antichrist. He is, you know, there are many Antichrists, but he is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist, according to the Scriptures, and this is another example where we needed to be rooted in the Scriptures, it says that he is the, he is from Magog. He is the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Well, again, you open any Bible atlas, and that's going to point you to Asia Minor or Turkey. It says that he arises as a little horn, a leader of small significance. He replaces three other leaders, and then he takes control over 10 kings. You know, these are not things that can be said of Obama. And, you know, my mind flashes to the old Monty Python film when the boy's mother peeks her head out of the window, and all these people are gathered, and she says, you know, he's not the Messiah. He's just a very naughty little boy. And, you know, yes, Obama is not the anti-Messiah. He's not the Antichrist. He's just a naughty little boy. But he's, you know, we're underestimating the Antichrist, I guess is my point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, you know, we got about a minute and a half left. So what would you like to leave off with the last 2 minutes of the program?
Let's just pray. Let's pray real quick. I'll pray and I'll turn it over to you.
Okay.
Father, we enjoy laughing and having a good time and being silly about these things, but we know that very sober and serious times are upon us and upon our nation. And we ask that you would touch your people, you would touch your church, you would take away the spirit of fear that I see prevalent over so much of the church, and you would give to us a spirit of a sound mind and confidence in you, a sobriety, that people would repent of their sins and get right with you, but that they wouldn't do so in a panicked, anxiety, fear-driven spirit, that they would do so with sobriety and in the fear of the Lord. We ask that you would prepare your people. We ask that you would give us wisdom for the days ahead, that your radio hosts, your shepherd, your leaders, your teachers would have wisdom as we speak forth your word and try to bring balance to your people. And we do. We ask that you would prepare us for the days ahead, and we entrust these things to you in the name of Jesus.
In Yeshua's name, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name, Father, we do thank you for the time that we do have, and that these things aren't completely upon us, that we still have time to work. So, Father, I pray that we're able to wake up the people to see the real signs of the time and realize that they have time to work and before the darkness comes, and that they use that time and support the men that are out there that are doing that work if they can't do it themselves, so that they do, so the righteousness comes forth, and that they build relationships with you instead of with the world. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Well, Joel, it's been great. Tell the people where you're at again.
Yeah, Joel's Trumpet. Joelstrumpet.com, and you know, I've got all my resources there, and I have just put out two new DVDs, by the way. I probably totally forgot to mention that to you. One just came out, and I've got another one coming out here in about a week. I'll send you an email with that, but I've got Where is America in Bible Prophecy and What Comes Next in the Middle East.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'd love to see him and love to share him with the church. But, yeah, amen. So, folks, go over and check him out at joelstrumpet.com. And we'll see you later, Joel. Thanks for coming on and visiting with me. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, brother.
Okay, bless you. Bless you, Pastor Dan. Love you, man.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Joel Richardson, and he, whether he says it or not or knows it or not, he's got a lot of stuff going on. You should go over to his website. And Joel is a realist, you know. He's not saying that the Shemitah isn't going to happen and that the economy isn't going to crash, but it's some of the over-dramatizations of it, you know. I think we all just need to look at it. And don't be disappointed if the Shemitah or great judgment doesn't happen on America. Praise the Father that it didn't happen and that we have more time to work, you know, because it is getting darker and darker by the day. And so we need to get prepared while there is still light. So pray about it, folks, and pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Also, when you go to Joel's site, go over and check him out. Anyway, we must remember, though, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 I can't say it enough, always be a blessing to others. That's what really counts, you know, not worldly goods, you know. So, amen. Okay, I got to get out of here. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.